Hi, this is Pastor Josh. It is Don and I. We are talking on Jesus-centric leadership today, and I am really excited because we've got the Saucermans with us, and they're going to be talking to us about ministry. And I think what I really have admired about your family for a lot of years, I've been here 5 years, is that all of you, all four of you, really just, you have a heart for missions, you have a heart for this church, you have a heart for the gospel. And so I'm going to dive right in, and this might be a big question to ask with, but we'll tone it down after. But what do you think it is for you as a family? What is it that you have this heart for missions? What is it that makes you have this heart for service that we just see so clearly? Like, is it just accident, or is there something intentional? What do you guys think?
Well, this is Emily. I think that the biggest thing that just jumps to my mind when you ask that question is the Holy Spirit. From very little on, when, even though I was in the church, I remember when I served, my pastor taught me about the Holy Spirit and asking him to lead. And so I can remember even as a kid going out in what was our small family farm and spending time with God, praying about the Holy Spirit moving in my life and in the future of my life. And since then, I've met lots of people in my world that pray for their spouse and pray for their kids and ask God to lead them and ask God to show us what to do and where to go. And that looks so different for everybody. But at the end of the day, when you sit back enough to start watching, you see where God works. So that's like the foundational part.
Now I'm going to step in just for a second, because we have the Saucerman 3, but not the Saucerman 4. So Ben's not with us today, but we do have Ty at the table. We have Rebecca, and you just heard from Emily. Yeah. And did you grow up in a traditional Lutheran church?
Yes, I did. I grew up in a little town in Marengo, Illinois. Zion Marengo was the congregation, very traditional Lutheran. I grew up with parents who had been Lutheran teachers, so it was modeled to me. I think one of the coolest things I heard from my parents when I was growing up was that when they took a call, they just said, "All right, God, where am I going?" and then listened and went. So that obedient life was something that I wanted to. And I was really just excited to see what God would do for anything in life.
Yeah, that's really cool.
This is Ty, and I grew up in a small town, South Dakota, so a lot of, if community doesn't happen in a small town, then community just doesn't really survive. So my dad and mom really modeled well, like stepping up to build a sidewalk next to the park or anything outside of church even as a servant, like a servant leader as well. So, but also grew up in a Lutheran church, again, small town, South Dakota. And really just comes from the fact that Jesus did all that he did for us and continues to do that for us. And that's where that servant heart comes from, is that you need to do something for him because he did all of that for you.
Okay, I'm just going to say a sidebar. Like, you're from Illinois, you're from South Dakota, and you're both Lutheran and met in Aurora. I see a Hallmark movie coming up here. I don't know.
Someday you can ask me the story because it's amazing, but it was absolutely God moments. So
very cool. All right, so Rebecca, your dad was more servant leader. Your mom's very Holy Spirit led. Kind of how did that translate for you?
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I've never really thought about it because in my mind, it's just like a part of life. Like, I remember when Dad, for his birthdays, like all of his friends would just come over and they would like pack Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. So I was just like, well, yeah, that's just like a part of life. And that's something that you do. And so I guess I just kind of grew up like thinking like, and it was fun, obviously, and like just getting to kind of do those things with family. But as I've gotten older, I've definitely realized, like, it's just, like, our response, kind of like what Dad said, like, it's just our response to the gospel, and, like, it's just a way that, just, like, serving our neighbors and pointing them to Christ, and it just, I don't know, I guess it just kind of fills your bucket like nothing else, so
right.
It really is just something that, yeah.
did it play a part? Now, you're going to go on to one of our Concordias, right? Which one?
Concordia Chicago.
All right. I'll let that slide this time. But you're going to go on to Concordia. Did it play a part in the college that you chose?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I guess I...
And career path.
Yeah, I always, in my mind, I was always going to, you know, go to a Christian school and, like, a Lutheran school. And then it really, like, as I started... just discovering kind of what, like, I was going to do with my life and what God had called me to do, it definitely, like, I definitely think that he uses all those experiences and just all those things just growing up and, you know, just all of what, like, they've taught me and everything, like, just, I think he'll definitely just use those things in my future just as a church worker, but I had never necessarily, like, thought of it as a career, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I don't know, I think it's really cool that I, like, it kind of has translated into getting to, like, just, I mean, being a deaconess is literally, like, comes from the Greek word for service, so, yeah.
Very good. I love that. I love how it's just a part of your fabric, right, of life. That seems like a good natural next step. Now, what about Ben? If Ben were here, what would he say? Like, what really?
Well, I think, I'm just amazed by him in his last year coming out of high school and taking welding classes, which you don't think of as a traditional industry that you could serve the Lord, such as a deaconess. But at the same time, he has not let his church service slip at all, and he's been stepping up for even – he's serving at a VBS this week at a different church in Castle Rock.
Oh, wow.
And he just hasn't let that slide, and he even goes out of his way to help out the elderly community here at Peace and in our community just outside of his job and his schooling as well. So I think that servanthood is just ingrained in him, and I don't know exactly what he would say right now, but...
Well, I think he would say that he wouldn't want you to say much about it, that's for sure, which is one of the reasons why he's not here. And yeah. But I'll speak to that because 4 years back, I think, middle of the night, like 1 a.m. middle of the night. And if you know me, I sleep really well because I work really hard physically during the day, so I crash. And I woke up with an uncanny just burning on my heart about Benjamin and what was going on. And anyway, when that happens, you don't ignore it. You sit down and pray. So I literally went over to his bedroom and I just started praying for him and for his faith and for all those things. And later on, I came to find out that he was going through a crisis of faith at that point. I'm really asking, should I believe what, and I don't know if he'd want me to say that, but I do know that he experienced that and really asked that. So then what I've gotten to watch and just praise God for over the last few years is how much he's studied scripture, like studied scripture over and over and over again, and how I can walk into his room and see the Bible laying open. And he's came home one day saying, Mom, I really feel like this one student in his class really needs somebody to walk alongside of him. And I feel like right now that's where my calling is, to walk alongside that student who is running cross country with him. And then those boys ended up growing and asking the questions like, which freshman do we need to mentor this year and things like that. So I think back to the fact that God moves and that God always is morphing how you serve and what that looks like all the time. And I think one of the things that we always have to watch is what is it now? There's no cookie cutter service. And yet God is always, always, always on the move and always just changing how you serve. And so he's learning that. I think we're all kind of learning that as a family. What does it look like this year and this moment and whatever?
Yeah, I just want to go back to Ben for a second. And Ben, we won't talk about you much more since you aren't here, but I was able to sit in on a couple of his Bible studies, and you are on point, just incredibly gifted and really able to speak into the heart of students. I mean, and just in the two times I was able to sit in on that, I really felt like I had some things to learn from Ben, and I really appreciate that. I even shared with Pastor, like, we got to get him for adult ed classes. Like, he's really got a great heart. Yeah. So we appreciate that about you, Ben, and we thank God for your family and just the great example. nobody's perfect, and we're not elevating you to that. Just close to it. No, I'm kidding. but we're just thankful. And so did I'm gonna let. Oh, okay. So did you like sit down when before you had kids, or when your kids were younger, and did you go, how are we going to be a family on mission? And we're going to do A, B, and C. Because I think sometimes when we hear about a family who's really focused together and moving in that direction together, we want to do that. We're like, oh, how do I do that?
Yeah, no. In fact, probably close to the opposite. Like in the sense that... you're always asking God, what are we going to do? Things like that in general, like in the big picture general, but you can't spell it out for him. And the more you do, the more frustrated you get. Like there were times where Ty and I could look at each other and be like, that's not what God's calling us to do. What are you thinking? Or like, I don't want to do that thing or whatever. And so we've had to, like within our own marriage and then obviously with our kids to just let God change us and mold us, because otherwise it gets a little messy.
And we had a little trouble getting pregnant, so we had a lot of prayers directed toward just having kids instead of what life would be like after we had kids. And so that kind of stole a little bit of that away from us. But at the same time, I think we prayed a lot for our children's future spouses. I remember doing that a lot. And at the same time, praying with them once they were little kids, but at the same time, like, we really wanted them to own their own faith and didn't want to push too far into praying every night as adolescents and stuff like that. So at one point we kind of turned that over to them and kind of just hope for the best with that.
Yeah, and maybe, and it's funny, actually, I was motioning to Donna earlier to ask a question, and she asked the same question I was going to ask, because I think, like, as, you know, younger family, like, How do I be intentional with that? And so maybe talk a little bit about, I think, maybe two things, and you can start either place, but how, what intentional things did you do when they were little to kind of foster that? Because I'm sure there was something, although maybe it wasn't all planned out that we're going to do this, this, and this. Like, what did you do to kind of foster that servanthood, that following Jesus? And then kind of how did you hand that off to let it start becoming their faith from just becoming...
Yeah, that's a great question. Little things? There's no big things. It's all the little things. Yeah. It's all the consistent things. It's the worshiping together as a family, praying together as a family. Our community was incredible. If there was anything Ty taught me, it was the community piece. I very much, I think, would stand alone and just give me some space. And he was the one that always had to have everybody... in our world, and his family at first, what I felt literally was so suffocating, ended up being such an incredible blessing. Like, talk about God moving me. Like, I was a mess, and he has morphed me to see just how amazing that is. But we have the extended family that have poured their faith into our children, so that's huge, that it wasn't just coming from us. Like, it came from so many other people, including our church family. So, yeah, poor Rebecca's like,
I was going to say that, yeah. Too. I don't know. I think, yeah, like, there's been so many other adults in my life, and even just, like, my teachers, like, going to a Christian school, like, just there's been so many people that have been, you know, besides just my parents, who have displayed, like, what it looks like to live as a Christian and have encouraged me, because, you know, as kids, it's not like you're always just wanting to be exactly like your parents or just listen to them. And, like, when you have those other mentors in your life and the other people that can pour into you and really just, like, inspire you to be a Christian that's just, you know, looking to serve God and everything is so big. And, like, I don't know, I guess with what you said, I think there's also, like, from my perspective, I think there was plenty of times that, like, we, you know, tried to do, like, family devotions, but we didn't, and, like, we got busy, or, like, not everybody was even home for dinner, or, you know, we just totally forgot, like, and I think it was the times that that happened, and, like, I think instead of just being, like, well, that, you know, we totally failed today, like, I think the fact that you guys instead said, like, well, that's what happened, but, you know, this is what we should have done, or this is, like, even though we didn't, you know, succeed at that today, like, it's okay because of Jesus and because it doesn't matter what, you know, we do, but just because of him, like, I think that also just grew me so much.
Yeah, and as you were sharing that about the space for other people to speak into your life and mentor you and all, a huge testament to you is always your gratitude. Like, in talking with you, people just know you're appreciative. And you have a way of really affirming when people are speaking to you that their words are valuable. And I think that's such a gift. And again, yeah, this side of heaven, there's no perfect family. So thank you for not being perfect and doing your devotions and prayers every single night, because we missed a few too as my son was growing up. But we know that God's got that covered, and your trust in Him. Is it hard to lead a family that's on mission, Ty? Like, as the leader of your home, is that hard?
There's definitely some questioning and running things through your head, like, I have no idea what I'm doing here, Lord. But at the same time, handing them over, and prayer is a big part. Looking just at being a Sunday school teacher for Rebecca, and then having her turn around and be a Sunday school teacher, it's a lot of fun to see that happen. And just like Emily said, the little things that build into that, watching, I won't use any movie references, but like paraphrasing Braveheart here, and like, do it, but let them see you do it, I should say. So devotions, don't lock your door and be like, I'm coming out when I'm done, but be at the coffee table, let the kids see that when they come down for breakfast. And that really builds into the fact that you're living what you believe.
My first year at Peace, that there was a student, and he would always talk about his dad had a chair, the same chair, and he would get up in the morning and come downstairs, and his dad would faithfully be there every day. And now he's a dad, and he's leading his family in the same way. And I believe that that example is huge, because we can talk one way and then live another, but people see that inconsistency, and then they don't really want to follow that. But I think with our kids, we just have to be our true selves that God's called us to be, and that they're going to follow it. Raise a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, right? Yeah. All right, so we have what's called leadership circles. And they're it's a group of people who we identify as leaders, and we get together and just talk about some of the different things that we're listening to on these podcasts. And when somebody in my group said, this missional, being the hands and feet of Jesus, is exhausting. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel exhausted of being a missionary where God's placed you? Or like, dude, can I just have 5 minutes? Like, I just need a little time here. How do you feel about that? You're nodding your head, Emily, so I'm gonna go to you first.
Yes and no. So yes, with scripted programmatic serving, it gets exhausting because it's scripted and it's part of the program of the church or whatever. And those are good things because they show us examples of what to do. They spur us on, they keep us going, they get it in our face so that we don't let it go and forget that. However, I don't think that that's what most of our mission work is. I think most of our mission work happens outside, and that's not exhausting. Like, today when I ran over to my neighbors and gave them some zucchini bread that I'd made, like, that wasn't exhausting. That was a good visit and whatever, and it was something I'd done with my time, and I wasn't doing it, like, I wasn't checking it off my list. I wasn't required to complete it by a certain time. It was just who I was and what I was doing, and those things just happen spontaneously. So I think from an athlete point of view, like, you have to do your training for whatever sport you're in. So if I'm going to run a marathon, I have to put in the due diligence of doing that. But after getting my body in shape to run, then running around just for the sake of running around is not exhausting, and that's fun and joyful. So I think in the church work part of being scripted, as far as serving that way, it can get exhausting, but then you fall into the comfortable zone of just naturally doing things, and that's not tiring, right?
Yeah, and that's probably when you're in the sweet spot of serving in your gift area too. Yeah. Like, you're probably acts of service is one of your love languages, I'm guessing, and you get to go and share that hospitality, that love language with somebody else. I love that.
I think there's a part where you might get into the routine, like say with ushering, and it's not a burden anymore. Especially when your son comes and starts ushering with you and then steps into a different role later. But that part is nice and routine, but you can let yourself get too consumed with the church, if I can say that, and then you neglect your family. And that's where you need to like reel it back in a little bit and reassess how much time is going to where. But again, I think you have to be a little careful as well. Like if you're feeling exhausted, sometimes the Spirit will have somebody blow a tire out in front of you and you stop and help them. And then that fills your tank again. But things like that really can reprioritize, change your perspective a little bit on what really is important. Somebody's day is completely destroyed and you can help them out. That part fills you back up again. Yeah. Like Rebecca said, the bucket thing.
Yeah, I think as a family, one of the other challenges is seeing how God wants to use each one of you and yet one group. Like there's points where as a family, I would love us all to be, you know, kumbaya-ing around the same moment and in the same ministry. And to me as a mom, that would be so amazing. But we're so different. And so we have to have really raw conversations as a family with how can I encourage Rebecca to do the thing that Rebecca's gifted to do without her feeling like she's got to do the same thing her mom did because she's not me. And then how can, like Ty said, how can we not pull away from our own family? Like how can we still pour into each other and literally do what God's called us to minister to, and that's our own family. Like that's part of ministry. If I'm not building up Ty and I'm not building up Rebecca and I'm not building up Benjamin, then I'm not doing ministry.
Yeah, and we see that in Jesus' example, right? The times that he withdrew because he had to recharge, he had to refill. The time it was just him and the disciples when he knew they needed that to simply eat, drink, and sleep, right? Like, yeah, we have to live within those margins, super important. Okay, so our time is almost up, but I want to ask one more question. I'd like all of you guys to answer. It might be a little tough, but we have mainly leaders right now listening to our podcast. If you could challenge, usually I say if you could speak into our leaders, but I think more of a challenge, if you could challenge leaders who are listening to this, both male and female, about this family on mission concept, what would your challenge be and your encouragement? Because I think sometimes challenge can come across harsh. So I can challenge you and I can encourage you. It makes it sound smoother, right? Ty, you want to start?
Yeah, I think it all starts with getting in the Word and just knowing Jesus. Like, he fully knows us, but do we fully know him? And I know it's impossible. He gives us revelation that we can take in and digest, but we're not going to know everything this side of heaven. But I think getting in the Word, for me, it works the morning. I know some people can do nights better than that, but I like to start the day with that and not just read some verses or open the Bible and find a spot and read until a thought enters your head, but really concentrate, really get into the Word and get hungry for it, whether you have to set a certain chapter limit or something like that. But don't just let it go by the wayside, but concentrate, focus on that, make it intentional. And then as an encouragement, I would say that if you do that, like, Jesus will not let that go. Like his word will not be in vain. It will come back. It will return and be fruitful. And I think without that, you're missing a very key component of getting to know him and chasing after him.
As you say that, is it to get in the word so that when somebody asks me the scariest question I could ever imagine, I'm able to answer it? Or is it so my core is strong as I serve?
Yeah, I think the latter. It's really just to keep you on pace. And when the devil slides some thought in your head or you get sidetracked, that you just flip over and repent right away. And that just keeps you on task. It doesn't hurt to have the Bible knowledge to be able to spout off to somebody as they go. But that's not a thing that you need to have at your fingertips. You can also get back with them on that, do some research. And that just shows them, too, that it's a relationship and that you can really build off of that and that you're engaging with them and that you are not putting them aside, but you're coming back to them. And that is important to you to get an answer back to them.
Yeah, well said. Really well said. Rebecca, what would your words be like to challenge people on this concept of being on mission?
Yeah, I don't know who I am to challenge the leaders on the concept of mission. But I don't know. I would say maybe just like there's a difference in, you know, trying to plan things and like organize groups and volunteers and events and things and just like letting God work. And I think that's really hard, but I feel like it's really easy to get caught up in like trying to make sure everybody's there and everybody knows what's happening and everybody's on task, or like I know, even just, you know, trying to make sure that I know what's going to happen, like as we all go out and, you know, plan to do this service or that or whatever, like just being like, I can picture in my head how this day is going to go or whatever. And I think there's a lot of value in being able to say, okay, God, I don't know what I'm about to do or how you're about to use me, or just realizing that like the moments in everyday life are the things that he uses instead of just the times that you plan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And the irony is your brother wrote something for me last week, and he said almost those exact same words in what he wrote, that we can't worry so much about the programs that we forget it's about Jesus, and it's about getting Jesus to people. So well done, Mom and Dad, like to have both of their hearts sound that. Well done, God. I mean, ultimately, you know, both of you have that faith that really just trust him and not in all the stuff, right, that we can sometimes get busy with.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
It's just kind of the, like, I guess my encouragement would just be, like, obviously, Jesus called us to walk in freedom and, like, not, you know, be caught up in all of those things. And, like, I don't know, at least in my head, I think that's part of walking in freedom and, you know, living out that life. Like, I think you don't have to be worried about all those things, and when you just step back and like ask him to just show you where he's working, like it can just be so much cooler. Like,
I just took a deep breath because I'm in VBS plan, like we've got a week to VBS, and I'm like, you know, I need to listen to that was a good encouragement for me. So on point. You want to wrap us up here, Emily?
Sure, ask me the question one more time.
Oh, wow.
Because now so much has been discussed that I forget the initial question.
So your
sometimes.
Leadership, like if you could challenge leadership, like this concept of being on mission, what's one way that you would just really speak into our leaders?
Repentance. I know that may sound harsh for a minute, but I have found myself the last months now, where I've just spent more time repenting and letting God just wash over me with his forgiveness. Because then every time I do, I keep taking down the guard of, no, I got this, or I'm doing okay, or whatever. And all of a sudden, it puts me at the foot of the cross. And then I'm ready to serve again because God's washed me. So let yourself be washed by his blood. And don't be afraid to just get really real with God. And then he'll take everything else.
Wow. And your encouragement? To our leaders in this concept?
One, that God is not silent. I think we have to remember that frequently, that he is not silent and he is not ignoring us. Like, he's moving and he's got something for all of us to do, and he's not asking us to do it on our own. So he's got us.
Wow. I've known you forever, your entire family, and I'm just so grateful for this time that we had to be able to really talk about this. And Rebecca, we're praying for you as you go to college next year, and we'll be here for your mom and dad when those big alligator tears are appearing, right? but I know, bottom line is that we're excited about you and what God's calling you to, and it's going to be great to hear you come home and talk about everything that you're learning and what God's doing. And we want to thank you guys for listening today, and we look forward to another episode of Jesus-Centric Leadership.